My beautiful Satguru has come. He has put me on the right path. This is the Bhajan Mera Satguru Sona Agya on page 131. Today, the fortunate day has come. We are singing the remembrance of the Master. Today we are celebrating the birthday of the All-Owner, the Formless One. In every corner of the world he gave the message of true Nam. Becoming the son of Sawan, he showered the rain of nectar. He is the dear son of Father Hukam Singh. His name is Sant Kripal. He is the child of Mother Gulab Devi, but he is an example in the world. Oh, dear ones, millions of congratulations as the Bhandara of my master has come. I, Ajayab, had forgotten. Catching hold of me, he put me on the right path. My beautiful Satguru has come. He has put me on the right path. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 131.
Mera Satguru Sona Agya Mainu Siddhi Raste Pa Gya Mera Satguru Sona Agya Mainu Siddhi Raste Pa Gya Mera Satguru Aj paga pareya, dene aya asi yad guru de ga rahe. Os kul malik nirankar da, aj janm dihara mana rahe. Aj paga pareya, Dene aya asi yad guru de ga rahe. Us kul malik nirankar da aj janam dihara mana rahe. Mera satguru sona Agya mainu siddhi raste pa gya mera satguru sona Agya mainu siddhi raste pa gya mera satguru Oh duniya de kone Kone te sache naam da hoka la gya. Oh, beta banke saavan da mi amrit da varsa gya. Oh, duniya de kone Kone te sache naam da hoka la gya. Oh, beta banke saavan da mi amrit da varsa gya. Mera satguru sona. Agya mainu siddhi raste pa gya mera satguru sona agya mainu siddhi raste pa gya mera satguru pita hukum singh da Laadla uda naam sant kirpal hai. Mata gulab devi da jaya e par duniya te ek misal hai. Pita hukum singh da लाडला उदा नाम संत कृपाल है। माता गुलाब देवी दा जाया ए पर दुनिया ते एक मिसाल है। मेरा सतगुर सोना आ गया मैनू से दे रस्ते पा गया। मेरा सतगुर सोना आ गया मैनू से दे रस्ते पा गया। मेरा सतगुर लखा होण वधाइया संगत जी मेरे गुरु दा भंडारा आ गया। मैं अजैब सी भुल गया पड़ से दे रस्ते पा गया। लखा होण वधाइया संगत जी मेरे गुरु दा भंडारा आ गया। मैं अजैब सी भुल गया पड़ से दे रस्ते पा गया। मेरा सतगुर सोना आ गया मैनू से दे रस्ते पा गया। मेरा सतगुर सोना आ गया मैनू से दे रस्ते पा गया। मेरा सतगुर
My beautiful Satguru has come. He has put me on the right path. Sanchi's birthday is coming up very soon now, and I thought it would be pleasant, interesting, or both, to consider what it was like on his first visit to America in May 1977, which was, of course, an extremely exciting time for those of us who were there. And during that period, many, many people came to Santpani Ashram. Well, he started out, the month of May he spent at Santpani. And then he toured the rest of the country and South America until August, and he came back to Santpani for 3 more weeks. And then he left from Boston and went back to India via Rome in August. So, I pick up about halfway through the May stay. I'm reading, by the way, from the manuscript version of my book, which is indeed almost done, but not fully done. So, 2 initiations were held during this month of May, with a total of 65 persons initiated into Shabda Yoga. Many memorable satsangs took place, both in the morning after meditation and in the evening. Many were published in Santpani magazine and some in Streams on the Desert. One session that was not, unfortunately, published is the address Sanchi gave to the Oriental Philosophy class of Plymouth State University. This excellent short talk on the basic principles of spirituality was followed by a series of questions and answers in which the practical, God-intoxicated mystic from the Rajasthan desert came face to face with a currently fashionable intellectual understanding of these ideas. It was very sweet and very interesting. Sadly, the only tape recorder available refused to work, so it lived on only in the minds of those who were present. Professor David Haight, who taught the class and invited Sanchi to speak, was an initiate of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and treated the master with great courtesy and respect. On Wednesday, May 11th, 1977, the anniversary of my initiation 19 years earlier, the master visited the Santpani Ashram school. This was a happy, happy day. Kent Bicknell has given a complete account of this visit in his recent book on the early history of the school, founded in 1973 by Kripal Singh Ji Maharaj. The book was called Stepping Stones, the First 5 Years of Santpani School. by the way, and a very interesting book it is. And I will only add that I was teaching geography to the eighth grade when the master walked into the room, which became filled with light. How the kids loved him. Many of the high schoolers took the initiation, but all of them, whatever their age, responded to him spontaneously and joyfully. Baba Sawan Singh says somewhere that since it is so important to love the master, in addition to all his other qualities, he has to be lovable. The Santbani kids certainly attested to that. Then, about 2.5 weeks after his arrival, he became seriously ill with a recurrence of the malaria he had first picked up in Delhi last summer. Its first appearance was on Sunday, shortly before satsang was to be held. I arrived at his house to discover him in the throes of a high fever. I was frightened and suggested that he might wish to rest and not hold satsang that day. He insisted on holding satsang but agreed to make it short. He then proceeded to hold satsang with great power for 1.75 hours, a quarter of an hour longer than usual. Watching him on the dais, it was impossible to believe that he was or ever could be sick. Then he left the dais, walked into his house, and collapsed. With a day's rest, he seemed to quickly improve, and none of us realized at this point that it was malaria. On Tuesday morning, he conducted group meditation. Both the meditation and darshan after it were one of the most beautiful ever, and I thank God we had it back after one day's absence. Little did I realize that it was to be the last one until the end of the stay in California. By 10 o'clock, he was running a fever of 106 degrees, frighteningly close to the maximum that a human body can endure without permanent damage or death, and was very, very sick. I was given the opportunity of catching a glimpse of him in this condition. He was tossing back and forth on the bed in great violent surges, and it was more than I could bear. I ran back to my house and gave way to complete despair. I felt that we had dragged him over here against his will, that somehow we had given him his illness. It was still not diagnosed as a recurrence of malaria already in his system, that our failures and weaknesses and hideous shortcomings had brought it on, and a thought so horrible it was almost unthinkable, that he would now be forced to cancel the tour and go back to India. It also seemed very clear to me that he was sorry he had come. After 45 minutes of this kind of thinking, accompanied by bitter tears, I felt compelled to go down to his house again. He immediately called me into his bedroom. He was still tossing on the bed in great agony, still frighteningly sick. But as I stood watching him, he proceeded to answer every single one of the terrible doubts and questions that had tormented me up at my house. He told me that he was glad he had come, that the tour would proceed on schedule, that we had done nothing to cause his illness, and that I should not worry or despair about anything. You understand that I had not voiced outwardly any of these things. He concluded by saying that I should not confuse him with his body. My body is suffering. I am not suffering. Then he said, "You see, I am smiling." And in truth he was. The most radiant, peaceful smile came over his face, making the distinction between himself and his body, which was still tossing back and forth and obviously racked with pain, crystal clear. I left with the realization that he had spent 15 minutes at the height of his illness comforting me and removing all my despair. It so happened that Dr. Richard Cardozo, president of the medical staff of the Mary Hitchcock Hospital in Hanover, New Hampshire, and a distinguished heart surgeon, is a devoted satsangi. He had already had Sanchi's darshan several times, and when he came to know about his illness, he came right over. He noted the possibility of malaria, but doubted it. He said that if it recurred in 2 days' time, the chances of malaria were much higher, and testing should be done at that time. 2 days later, on Thursday morning, In the interim, there was some relief, but after two bouts of the high fever, Sanchi's body was by now very weak. Right on schedule, the fever came back. It was 2 hours or more before I could get through to Dr. Cardozo. And when I did, he told me that by the time I could get the master there, it would be too late for testing. The tests had to be done as close to the onset of the fever as possible, so that we should plan to bring him on Saturday morning. I went down to the house to communicate this to the master and ran headlong into a stone wall. He refused to see me, and through Papu he communicated very clearly that he wanted to go to the hospital now. I was bewildered and upset. I couldn't understand it at all. The doctor had explained that it wouldn't do any good to go now. The test wouldn't be conclusive. Why couldn't I convey this? But I couldn't. He literally would not let me into his room. And all my pleas and reasonable suggestions had to be given to Papu, who was more inclined to listen to the master than to me. In my confusion and unhappiness, I forgot all I had ever learned about the omniscience of the master and about the continuity of the growth process. It never occurred to me once to recognize that there was another level on which I might not know anything. All I saw was that the master was being unreasonable, and I couldn't understand it. Resentfully, I went back to the telephone, called Dr. Cardozo, and with some embarrassment told him that the master insisted on coming to the hospital now. Could that be arranged? He said that it could, that both the malaria specialist and the head of the laboratory, worldwide leaders in their fields, as this hospital is associated with Dartmouth Medical School and is exceptionally fine, were very interested in meeting Sanchi, and both would be happy to stay after hours and take care of him personally. I still didn't understand, but I drove him to the hospital about 50 miles away, and the tests were taken. Both specialists were indeed waiting to see him, and they treated him very respectfully and with great consideration. Because it was after hours, as opposed to the following Saturday morning when I had wanted him to go, we had the hospital to ourselves, and the whole visit took place in relative privacy. Moreover, within 20 minutes of the tests, the results were back. He did indeed have malaria. Even though the tests were late, they still worked, perhaps because the men taking them were the best in the business. And the malaria specialist prescribed exactly the right medication, which cleared the intense illness and fever up right away. He warned that it might have a side effect of making the master weak, especially in the mornings. It did have this effect, and his body remained weak in the mornings for several weeks. But his suffering was over. On the way back to the ashram in the car, I understood what a tremendous advantage it was, both for the master and for the Sangat, who had been suffering all week in the pain of separation, to have the thing cleared up here and now instead of waiting another 2 days. I understood that the master had known very well from the beginning that the tests would work on that day. I understood that he was concerned about wasting the precious time of the disciples. I understood further that I had been very wrong and had forgotten everything I had ever known about anything. I told him all this, and he simply replied, "That was not right, Russell G., to wait 2 more days." So 2 days later, on the day that if I had had my way, he would, after another period of sickness, have been tested at the hospital, he took his first walk around the ashram since the illness began and gave darshan to the satsangis to their great joy. That night, Saturday night, he came and sat on the dais for half an hour while the sangat sang bhajans, his first time on the dais since the illness began. The following day, Sunday, he held satsang again with great power for the full time, and on Monday morning he gave initiation to 34 persons, the second initiation of the stay. From then on, the full schedule was resumed, except for the mornings, due to the bodily weakness caused by the side effect of the medicine. But the final week of satsangs was especially relevant, and it was very difficult for the New Hampshire satsangis and all those who had been staying at the ashram to say goodbye to him when the time came to leave. so difficult that many did not say goodbye and accompanied him to the next stop. During this month, Sanchi had two group darshan specially for the Sant Bani Ashram Sevadars, about 25 people who lived at the ashram and did valuable and constant seva. The first darshan before his illness was an informal affair. The children also were there, a group picture was taken, and the room was full of love and joy and laughter. The second one was very different. Sometime in the last 2 weeks, after the recovery from his illness, Sanchi called us all down to his house, where he had a microphone and tape recorder set up, and Patiji and Papu were sitting in front of him just as they did in the satsang hall. He then proceeded to give the following talk on a hymn of Swamiji Maharaj, with Patiji chanting the hymn just as he did in the hall. The hymn, however, was never translated, and the talk was published without it. During this talk, Sanchi was very serious and intense, and we were all very aware of the importance of what he was saying. And this is the talk. Later, when I published it, I gave it the title, The Enemy Within. And some of you may have read it. It's in the Ambrosial Hour, and of course it was published in the June 1986 Sant Bani magazine, or May-July 1986, one or the other, Sant Bani magazine. Anyway, Swamiji, this is Sanchi's talk now. Swamiji Maharaj says, "How can I tell you all the tricks of the mind? The mind has so many ways in which he can deceive us that we cannot describe all his tricks. What does he do? He destroys the love in the satsangis, and instead of that love, he fills them from within with jealousy, with duality, and people start hating each other. What does Maya do? Maya brings illusion within us, and Kal colors that with the color of dirt. And then we also behave like ordinary worldly people after giving up our meditations. What does Kal do with us? Whatever good thoughts we have had by attending the satsang, whatever meditation we have done, whatever knowledge we have achieved through the satsang, when the time comes, the negative power tries his level best and plays all his tricks to take those things away from us. If someone has achieved a little bit of love and the will of the master or saint, the negative power tries to take that away from him also in due course of time. Swamiji says, it is a surprising thing that when the negative power attacks us, we forget the forgiveness which we have received after attending the satsangs. How does Kal or the negative power affect us? We are called satsangis, and we are satsangis, and we are all brothers and sisters in master. But Kal sits in us and makes us fight with our brothers and sisters. He creates dryness within us and tells us, what is in meditation? Coming into the satsang also, he disturbs us. He does not leave us even for a minute. Once the negative power came to Guru Nanak and said, you are giving grace to many people and liberating them. So give me some room in your sangat so that I can also get something from you. Guru Nanak said, no, there's no room for you. But if you still want, you can sit in the place where the shoes of all the people are kept. That is why when we are sitting in satsang, after hearing the talk of the master, we make up our mind that we will do whatever master has told us to do. But as soon as we come to the place where the shoes are kept and we put on our shoes, the negative power starts affecting us and we forget everything we have learned in satsang. If the satsangis are loving and respecting each other and doing their meditation, then if the negative power cannot do anything to the meditators, he goes to the sevadars. And sitting in the sevadars, he will pull their minds in different directions. He will tear the sevadars apart, and he will not allow them to make their seva successful. If he is not successful in using any of his tricks on us, then what does he do? He takes whatever seva we have done. Guru Nanak says, it is easy to do seva, but it is difficult to maintain it. How does he dwell in the Sevadars? He comes and sits in the minds of the Sevadars, and that's why some of them think that they are very good Sevadars. They are doing very good seva, and that nobody else is competent like them. And some people think that they are very good at organizing. So sitting in their mind, he creates this type of thing within the Sevadars. Because if a few people start praising us and folding hands to us, then we do not want to stay on the ground. We start flying. We think we are also something. Now when the Sevadars go in different directions and start fighting with one another, Master warns us and rebukes us, "What have you done? You should not do that." And then the satsangis realize and they repent, but they do not understand the tricks of the negative power. When the Sevadars start fighting with each other and becoming angry with each other, Master rebukes us and tells us, "Your work is to do seva, and you have to set an example for other people." When Master is telling us that, then our mind starts making excuses to the Master, and people start arguing and explaining to the Master, "No, this is right, or this is wrong." This is the law of nature, the soul which is affected by the tricks of the negative power, and who starts finding faults in the Master, goes back into the cycle of 84 lakhs births and deaths. Swamiji Maharaj says, "It is a pity that 10 years, 5 years, 20 years have passed by doing satsang, but we have never recognized our Master as the form of God. We have never had love and respect for each other, and we have never had any effect from the satsangs which we have been doing. We were supposed to make our minds humble by doing seva, but instead of that, we have got egoism in our minds. If you cannot do anything, at least request your Master. Oh, Master, we are helpless in front of the negative power, but the negative power is not stronger than you. You help us, save us from the effect of the negative power. Do the simran which he has given to you. Take the medicine which he tells you to take. Keep the abstinence which he is telling you to keep, and the disease will go away." When we call our Master, what does Master do? He purifies the minds of the satsangis who are torn apart and are fighting with each other. When Master makes their minds pure, they start loving each other, and everything becomes as it was before. And when we do meditation, we again get the same love for each other, and we start living in love as we were doing before. Swamiji Maharaj says, "What is the duty of satsangis? To live in love for each other and to always maintain that love. This is the order for all satsangis, to love each other, to be united, and to meditate. If the satsangis are not loving each other, if they are not remaining united, if they are not meditating, that means that they are surrendering to the negative power." So Swamiji Maharaj says, if, obeying our requests, all the satsangis could love other satsangis and meditate, they will go to the court of Satpurush, and there is no obstacle which will prevent them from going to his court. So don't let your intellect come between you and God. Do the devotion of Satguru, and don't keep any worries in your mind, because now you have the Nam initiation, and Satguru has given you the opportunity to do the seva, to meditate and earn that Nam. So do the seva, and always remember Satguru with each and every breath. But if you have any skill with which you can do seva, don't let egoism come in your mind. When you do any seva, always understand yourself as the low one, and always understand another as the higher person. Don't expect that after doing seva, people should pay you, and you should never think about praise from people. You should never go on repeating your own praise to the people about your seva, that you have done this seva, but always keep humility in your mind. Many people have this habit that unless they repeat their own praise, it goes on increasing in their stomach and they can't digest it. Baba Bishandas used to tell this story. There was a king who had two horns on his head. He had a special barber who did not tell anyone about the horns because that was the question of his trust. But when that barber left the body, the king was very concerned. He thought, now another barber will not be able to digest this information. He will tell other people, and that's not good. So he called another barber, whose name was Veer Babaru. He asked him, do you know why I have called you? Veer Babaru replied, yes, because I'm a very good barber, and I can cut your hair beautifully. That's why you have called me. The king said, well, that's one thing, but there is one more reason why I have called you here. The king took off his cap and showed him. You see, I have two horns, but you should not tell this to anyone. If you tell it to anyone, I will kill you, also your family, plus the person to whom you tell this secret. So beware that you don't tell this to anyone. Veer Babaru said, okay, I'll do that. But that man had the habit that if he could not tell something to others, he would not feel good, and he couldn't hold anything else in his stomach. When he went back to his home and he was not allowed to tell this thing to others, his stomach went on increasing and increasing because that thing was still in his stomach. Eventually he became sick because he could not tell it to anyone. Many doctors were called, but that was not a disease that a doctor could cure. Some wise people were called and they thought it had something to do with his mind. They asked him, tell us the truth. Why is this? He said, well, I have one thing, but if I tell this thing to anyone, then I will be killed and my family will also die. But if I don't tell it, then you see my condition and I will die in either case. So one of the wise men told him, he was lying on a bed, he couldn't walk, to tell four people to take his bed into the forest and then go away from him. And facing any tree, he could tell it whatever he had on his mind. In that way, he could get rid of it, and his stomach would become all right. So he went there, and facing toward one tree, he said in a very impressive chant, Veer Babaru says this, the king has two horns. It so happened that later that tree was cut down, and the wood was used in making a harmonium and tabla, which of course are musical instruments in India. Then the king's wife gave birth to a son, so the king called all the musicians to celebrate. It so happened that the musicians were using the same harmonium and tabla. Before starting a program, they tuned their instruments, and when they started tuning the harmonium, the sound came. The king has two horns. The people were amazed, who says this? Who says this? And when the tabla player started tuning, it said, Veer Babaru. So then the king took off his hat and said, it's true, I have two horns. So people like Veer Babaru cannot hold anything in their stomachs, and this thing happened. If we people get the opportunity from God to do the seva, we should hold everything within us, but not like Veer Babaru. We should not let our stomach go on increasing and increasing. We should digest it. Swamiji Maharaj says, why are you proud? Who knows at what moment death will come? Whatever seva we do, only that is counted in our devotion. You see the beggar, how much people are taunting him and giving him a very hard time. But he is so humble that he never replies to that treatment. No matter what anybody says, the beggar will not give any place to that bad feeling in his mind. Without Satguru's grace, a soul cannot be successful. That's why we should always remember that it is Satguru's grace which is working and helping us in every single work. One other thing also comes up here. Some people show love and humility from outside, but from within they are jealous and hate others. For them, purification is almost impossible. Master Sawan Singh Ji used to say there's not a good thing to remove one veil and hide in another veil. It is not good to purify from outside, but from inside leave all the dirt uncleared. That beggar has not attended any satsangs, but still he is pure. But you have attended many satsangs, you have done many things, but still you have not given up your egoism, still you have not developed humility. Then what have you done after attending so many satsangs? First of all, develop humility and keep that humility within you. And if anybody commits any mistake, others should try to forgive him. And the person who is doing the mistake should repent. If anyone is doing something wrong, talking or saying bitter words towards others, it is the work of the one who has done that to go and ask for forgiveness from the others. Any heart in which jealousy and enmity is there, when looking at other people's seva and meditation, is very difficult to purify. That heart himself feels that pain, and it is very difficult to get rid of that pain. Whoever has jealousy in him, he should understand that he is losing too much. If he himself cannot do anything about that, he should ask for Sadhguru's help. And only with the Sadhguru's help and grace he can resolve that problem. But he who has this thing in his heart, he himself should give some attention to purification. And we can purify ourselves from within only with the help of Simran. Simran can do that. If the satsangi cannot be successful by using his own efforts, he should start requesting Sadhguru. I am helpless. I am powerless. Please help me. He is our eternal grace. He definitely helps us. You should not try to hide any faults from the Sadhguru, because he is all conscious and knows everything. Whatever faults you have, you should tell Sadhguru. And you should always feel the presence of the Sadhguru around you. And when you confess in front of Sadhguru, make up your mind that you will not repeat those faults again. It's not good to request from one side and then keep repeating the same thing on the other side. Request to Sadhguru in this way. Oh, Sadhguru, Swami, I am blessed in front of you, and you are light. You help me and you enlighten me. O Satguru, when you shower grace on me, only then I can be successful. There is no other remedy for this. Without Satguru's grace, no soul can become successful. Swamiji Maharaj says, you don't understand that no enemy is coming from outside. Mind, our enemy, is residing within us. Mind is within everyone. You should not think that only the other person has the enemy, the mind, and that you don't. Everybody has the mind. Everybody has his enemy within. And that enemy is the agent of Kal, and he has the duty from Kal not to allow any soul to do Satguru's work. That's why he is holding us. So what is the medicine for this? Do satsang and get the earnings of the meditation of Nam and receive the grace of the Master. With the help of and grace of the Master, all our bad deeds and thoughts will go away from us and we will become pure. But those who hide everything from their Satguru, and after going to the Satguru, even if they have many faults, still say, I haven't done any mistake and I'm doing so much meditation. For such people, what can be done? Such a person never understands that Master is looking at his every thought, his every action. He always takes the Master as an ordinary human being, and that is why he goes on committing mistakes under the impression that nobody is there to see them. Swamiji Maharaj says that those who understand Master as an ordinary human being and do not understand him as God, and those who always think that Master is not looking at their bad deeds, for them there is no remedy. They have that kind of disease that is incurable. Truly speaking, such people are not able to attend satsang. And those who have the perfect master, and after attending their satsang, if they understand the reality of the master, and if they obey the commandments of the master and copy the example or the life of the masters, then one day they will also become pure and will be able to get rid of all the evils which they have within them at present. Satsang is very pure water, and one who bathes in this water will get rid of all the filth he has within him. That's why Master Kripal always used to say, give up 100 urgent works to attend satsang. Guru Nanak says, without satsang, whatever effort we are doing is like taking the pure water from one side and putting in dirt from the other. Swamiji Maharaj says, we cannot praise satsang. There is no other means to purify our mind except satsang. God says, no one can attain me through japa, tapa, or any other practice. He can realize me only with the help of satsang. There is no other way for the liberation of the soul. You cannot be liberated if you will not attend satsang. Swamiji Maharaj says, in the Kali Yuga, there are only three means for liberation: satsang, nam, and the perfect master. Those who have the perfect master and those who are meditating on nam and those who have made their satsang, they should understand that now they are redeemed. But if we are doing any japa, tapa, or any other practice, instead of making our minds small and thin, we make our minds stronger. Because after doing all those things, we become full of ego. It is true that in the previous yugas or ages, the japas, tapas, and austerities were the worship of the time, and the rishis and munis performed them. But we cannot do them because now we don't live long enough. If we somehow manage to do a little bit of them, then we cannot get the real truth. The scriptures say the austerities and the worship of the rishis and munis were meant for the golden age. And in this iron age, if we practice them, they won't work for us because we have less life and less health. That's why in this age, saints came and they discovered satsang and set up satsang for the benefit of the souls. And of course, by satsang, Sanchi here does not mean necessarily only the group meetings that we call satsang, although they are certainly an aspect of satsang. Satsang means association with truth. Sat is truth and sang is association. And it refers first of all to the meeting of the master within, which is the ultimate satsang. Then any time we are with the master in physical person is also a very high form of satsang. And then in his absence when we get together, as we are doing now, and listening to his words, that is still another form of satsang. So when the master uses the term in the way that he uses it in this talk, he's referring to all three levels, sometimes more to one than to another, but they're all three constantly there in the concept. You know, when Sanchi says, quote Swamiji, you don't understand that no enemy is coming from outside. Mind, our enemy, is residing within us. And mind is within everyone. You should not think that only the other person has the enemy, the mind, and that you don't. Everybody has the mind. Everybody has his enemy within. You know, so obvious, and yet so incredibly apt in regard to the way we think about these things, we think about them without thinking about them, you know. In the very last talk that he gave on the 1963 tour, Master Kripal Singh spoke on lust and anger and how those things do a number on us when we're trying to meditate and go within. You know, a number of us, different satsangis, young people and so forth, had given in to those various things, lust and anger especially. And even though we were traveling with the Master and he was right there, people had been indulgent. Master said to me, you know, it's toward the conclusion of that talk. He was, by this point, pretty tired. And he said to us very resignedly, I guess you could say, I have been saying these things from the beginning when I first came till now. Perhaps you thought I was talking to somebody else. I had lost my temper just before the satsang began over a triviality, and I had called the other person down and made them feel terrible because I was so angry at them. You know, when Master said that, perhaps you thought I was talking to somebody else, it cut me right through to my heart. That didn't mean that I lived up to it from then on. And one final comment in the book. Now we knew that this talk was of the utmost importance. For years we played portions of the badly recorded tape at each ashram meeting. But that didn't stop some of us from failing in every single way that the Master mentions. I need not go into detail here. Kent Bicknell has given a vivid description of the principal, but not only, failure in his book Rainbow on My Heart, Chapter 7, Spiritual Vanity, from his point of view. And in my introduction to that book, I discuss it briefly from mine. At the time the talk was given, of course, none of that was obvious. We were all getting along fine, and as far as we or anyone else except the Master could tell, we all loved each other exactly as we were supposed to do. But he could see what nobody else could see, and he pointed a different way. Would to God we had heard him. And that was a very major event in the history of Sant Bani Ashram, where the Sevadars pretty much canceled each other out just 6 months or so after Sanchi left. But with his grace, we did ask him for help. We did all the things he says in the talk, and he did fix it and became fine again. So he will help us when we ask him to. Thank God for that.
भावां की क्या कह गाऊं अरब करब ससुर ले जाऊं अब अनाम जहां रूप नाम संत करें जाए वहां विश्राम
गुरु नानक देव ने भी कहा है के अगम अलख के उपर तावै सत लोक की तबगत पावै ताके उपर संतन धाम नानक दास किया विश्राम स्वामी जी महाराज भी कहिंदे है ओ संतां महात्मा दा देश है उत्थे संतां दा दरबार है सब संत उस घर तों इस मंडल दे विच आउंदे हन
गुरु नानक साहब हैज आल्सो सेड दोज हु राइज अबव द अलख एंड अगम प्लेन्स एंड गो बियॉन्ड द सतलोक देन दे फाइंड द रियल द ट्रू रेजिडेंट ऑफ द सेंट्स All the saints come from that plane and they all reside in the same place. Swamiji Maharaj also says that beyond Alak and Agam, that is a plane from where the saints come and all the saints reside over there.
कहिंदे कि सुरत उत्थे पहुँच के खुश होगी शांति आ गई ना उत्थे नाद है ना उत्थे शब्द है ना कोई बाणी है ओ शांति दा देश है सुख दा देश है
Now he says that after reaching there, the soul became peaceful, soul became happy, because over there, in that plane, there is no sound, there is no Shabad sound current, there is no light, there is no bani, there is nothing over there. It is the place of total peace and happiness.
Jo cheeza main bayan kitiyan han eh cheeza assi kise bahri jantran de naal dekh nahi sakde ge mata kise da eh khayal hove ke assi dekh sakiye kyunki eh mahaan kalakar ne sade andar hi rachiyan hoiyan han ਇਹ ਸਾਰੀਆਂ ਸੂਖਮ ਹਨ, ਮਨ ਦੇ ਪਰਦੇ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਹਨ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਇਹ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਹੁੰਚਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਜੋ ਰਸਤਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ। ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਲਓ, ਟੈਲੀਵਿਜ਼ਨ ਇਸ ਦੁਨਿਆਵੀ ਕਲਾਕਾਰਾਂ ਨੇ ਬਣਾਏ ਹਨ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਕਿਸ ਹਿਸਾਬ ਨਾਲ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਯੰਤਰ ਫਿੱਟ ਕੀਤੇ ਹਨ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸਾਜ ਵੱਜਦੇ ਹੈ, ਔਰਤਾਂ ਮਰਦ ਗੱਲਾਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਨੱਚਦੇ ਹੈ, ਟੱਪਦੇ ਹੈ। ਅਗਰ ਜੇ ਕੋਈ ਆਦਮੀ ਟੈਲੀਵਿਜ਼ਨ ਨੂੰ ਭੰਨ ਕੇ ਕਹੇ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਇਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਕੋਈ ਔਰਤ ਕੱਢ ਲਾਂ, ਔਰਤ ਕਹੇ ਮੈਂ ਮਰਦ ਕੱਢ ਲਵਾਂ ਜਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਸਾਜ ਹੀ ਨਿਕਾਲ ਲਵਾਂ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਭੰਨ ਕੇ ਸੈੱਟ ਨੂੰ ਖਰਾਬ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਕਰ ਦੇਗਾ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਕੁਛ ਨਹੀਂ ਨਿਕਲਦਾ ਗਾ। ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਡਾਕਟਰ ਇਹ ਕਹੇ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਕੋਈ ਦੀਪ ਕੱਢ ਲਵਾਂ ਇਹ ਸਰੀਰ ਦਿਓ ਜਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਖੰਡ ਬ੍ਰਹਮੰਡ ਕੱਢ ਲਵਾਂ, ਇਹ ਸਾਰੀਆਂ ਚੀਜ਼ਾਂ ਜਿਹੜੀਆਂ ਹਨ ਇਹ ਮਟੀਰੀਅਲ ਨਹੀਂ, ਇਹ ਸੂਖਮ ਹਨ, ਮਨ ਦੇ ਪਰਦੇ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਹਨ, ਔਰ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਓ ਦੇਖੋ।
Now all these things which I have mentioned cannot be seen by any outer instruments because they are all within us and they are in their astral form. Now all these things which I have mentioned cannot be seen by any outer instruments because they are all within us and they are in their astral form. And we can see them only when we go in the within. And because the great artist God has created all these things in our within and he has put all these things in our within in their astral form, and we cannot see all these things and experience these things unless we go in our within, in the inner planes. It is like the great artists, the worldly artists have made things like televisions and the other things in which you hear people playing the music, you hear them talk, you hear them sing and dance. If you think that by breaking the television set you will be able to take out any man or woman or any musical instrument, that is not possible because they have adopted such a technique and the worldly artists have put the worldly instruments in such a way that with their combination you can see all these things on the screen and you cannot have it out there. So in the same way, all these things which I have mentioned are not material, they are not made by the worldly material, they are in our within, in their astral form. And if any doctor says that by cutting the body he would be able to find the islands or the inner planes which I have mentioned, it is not possible because this is a matter of experience. All these things are present within us in their astral form.
Surat cheet paya vismad neh jahan bani neh jahan ad ad na ant anant pa
ਕੋਈ ਆਦ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਕਦ ਸਥਾਪਿਤ ਹੋਇਆ, ਉਹਦਾ ਅੰਤ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਸਮਾਪਤ ਹੋ ਜਾਏਗਾ। ਉਹ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦਾ ਘਰ ਹੈ ਜਿੱਥੇ ਨਾ ਪਰਲੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਮਹਾਂ ਪਰਲੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਨੋ ਬਿਗਿਨਿੰਗ ਆਫ ਹਿਮ, ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਨੋ ਐਂਡ ਆਫ ਹਿਮ, ਨੋ ਵਨ ਨੋਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਇਟ ਵਾਸ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਿਡ, ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਵਾਸ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਿਡ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਬੀ ਫਿਨਿਸ਼ਡ। ਦੈਟ ਪਲੇਨ ਡਜ਼ ਨੋਟ ਫਾਲ ਇਨ ਡਿਸੋਲੂਸ਼ਨ ਔਰ ਗ੍ਰਾਂਡ ਡਿਸੋਲੂਸ਼ਨ, ਸੱਚ ਇਜ਼ ਦਾ ਪਲੇਨ ਆਫ ਸੇਂਟਸ।
ਆਦਨਾਯੰਤ ਅਨੰਤ ਅਪਾਰ ਸੰਤੁਨ ਕਾ ਵਹਿ ਨਿਜ ਦਰਬਾਰ ਸੰਤ ਸਭੀਵਾਂ ਕਰ ਸੀ ਆਈ ਕਾਲ ਦੇਸ਼ ਸੀ ਜੀਵ ਚਿਤਾਵੀ।
ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ, ਕੀ ਕਬੀਰ, ਕੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਵਣ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀ ਬਾਣੀ ਪੜ੍ਹਦੇ ਹੈ, ਸਭ ਉਸ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਸਿਰਫ ਕਾਲ ਦੇਸ਼ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਚਿਤਾਉਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ, ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਮਿਲਣ ਦਾ ਸ਼ੌਕ ਜਾਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਘਰ ਦੀ ਤੜਫ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਲੈਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਨਾ ਤਾਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਦਾ ਮਜ਼ਹਬ ਤੋੜਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਨਵਾਂ ਮਜ਼ਹਬ ਬਣਾਉਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਕਬੀਰ, ਅਵਰ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਉਸ ਬਾਣੀ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਰੀਡਿੰਗ, ਆਲ ਦਿਸ ਸੇਂਟਸ ਕਮ ਫਰੋਮ ਦ ਸੇਮ ਪਲੇਨ, ਦੇ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਮੋਰਟਲ ਵਰਲਡ ਫਰੋਮ ਦ ਸੇਮ ਪਲੇਨ, ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਟੂ ਅਵੇਕਨ ਦ ਸੋਲਸ ਵਿਚ ਆਰ ਕੰਟਰੋਲਡ ਬਾਈ ਦ ਨੈਗੇਟਿਵ ਪਾਵਰ, ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਕਮ ਟੂ ਅਵੇਕਨ ਦ ਸੋਲਸ in the respect to their home, and in order to take back our souls to the real home they come in this world.
Sant sabhi va kar se aaye kal desh se jiye chetaave jo chete tis le pahunchaye ਸ਼ਬਦ ਮਾਰਗ ਬਤਲਾਵੀ।
ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੋ ਸੁਰਤ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦਾ ਰਸਤਾ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹਨ। ਸੁਰਤ ਤੋਂ, ਸੁਰਤ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਤੋਂ ਭਾਵ ਆਤਮਾ ਦਾ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨਾਲ ਜੋੜ। ਸੁਰਤ ਵੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ, ਸ਼ਬਦ ਵੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ। ਜਿਹੜਾ ਵੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਕਹੇ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਪਵਿੱਤਰ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਬਤੀਤ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਰੋਜ਼ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਉਹ ਪਾਰ ਕਰ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ।
Now he says that they show us the path of Surat Shabda. Surat Shabda means the union of soul with our soul or Almighty God. The soul is in our within. God is also in our within. The Shabda is also in our within. And they teach us the technique with which we can make our soul and our soul meet. And they teach us how to do that. And they practice the path of the Surat Shabda.
ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਦੇ ਜਵਾਨੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਨਾਮਦਾਨ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕੀਤਾ, ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਲੈ ਗਏ। ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਦੇ ਜਵਾਨੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕੀਤੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਰਸਤਾ ਲਿਆ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਲੈ ਗਏ। ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਨਾਮਦਾਨ ਬਖਸ਼ਿਆ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਲੈ ਜਾਣਗੇ।
ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਹੈਵ ਪ੍ਰੈਕਟਿਸਡ ਦਿਸ ਪਾਥ ਅੰਡਰ ਦੀ ਗਾਈਡੈਂਸ ਆਫ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਗਾਟ ਇਨੀਸ਼ੀਏਸ਼ਨ ਬਾਏ ਹਿਮ, ਕਬੀਰ ਟੁੱਕ ਦੈਮ, ਕਬੀਰ ਲਿਬਰੇਟਿਡ ਦੈਮ। In the same way, those who got initiation from Guru Nanak and work according to his teachings, they were liberated by Guru Nanak. And in the same way, the masters who have initiated us will take us, will liberate us.
Jo chete tis le pahunchave surat shabd marg bat.
A closing bhajan is on page 248. Guru Kripal Mere Garana. Oh, Guru Kripal, come to my home. Just like you are fond of Sawan, so I am fond of you. Whoever has meditated or remembered you with a true heart, even for once, with both your hands full, you have given him your love. My string is in your hands. You are the companion of my life. You are the devotee of devotees, and it is not good for you to reject me. I am fond of you, just like you are fond of Sawan. Oh, dear one, you enjoyed the contaminated berries of Shivri. Giving up the good, delicious food of Duryodhan, you preferred to eat the simple food of Vidur. I am not only your servant, O Satguru, I am the servant of your servants. Just like you have protected the honor of everyone, protect my honor also. I am fond of you, just like you are fond of Sawan. O Satguru, how do I call you? I don't know. I don't have any knowledge. I don't have any style. I don't know. It is not in my hands to call you. O Guruji, moment after moment, my eyes are thirsty for your darshan. This is the request of Ajay. Please don't let me suffer anymore. I am fond of you just like you are fond of Sawan. O Guru Kripal, come to my home. Just like you are fond of Sawan, so I am fond of you. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 248.
Kirpal mere ghar aana, Guru Kirpal mere ghar aana, jaise tum saavan diwane, main tera diwana. ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਦੀਵਾਨਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਮੇਰੇ ਘਰ ਆਨਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਮੇਰੇ ਘਰ ਆਨਾ ਜੈਸੇ ਤੁਮ ਸਾਵਨ ਦੀਵਾਨੇ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਦੀਵਾਨਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਦੀਵਾਨਾ ਏਕ ਬਾਰ ਵੀ ਸੱਚੇ ਮਨ ਸੇ जिसने तुझे ध्याया बरबर जोली दोनों हाथों तुमने प्यार लुटाया एक बार भी सच्चे मन से जिसने तुझे ध्याया बरबर जोली दोनों हाथों तुमने प्यार लुटाया मेरी डोर तुम्हारे हाथों तुम मेरे जीवन साथी तुम मेरे जीवन साथी तुम भगतों के भगत तुम्हारे ठीक नहीं मुझको ठुकराना ठीक नहीं मुझको ठुकराना मैं तेरा दीवाना गुरु कृपाल मेरे घर आना गुरु कृपाल मेरे घर आना जैसे तुम सावन दीवाने मैं तेरा दीवाना मैं तेरा दीवाना शिवरी के झूठे बेरों से प्यारे तुमने मजा उठाया दुर्योधन के मेवे तज के साग विदुर का खाया शिवरी के झूठे बेरों से प्यारे तुमने मजा उठाया दुर्योधन के मेवे तज के साग विदुर का खाया केवल दास नहीं हूँ सतगुरु मैं दासों का दास तुम्हारे मैं दासों का दास तुम्हारे जैसे सबकी लाज रखी है मेरी भी लाज रखाना मैं तेरा दीवाना गुरु कृपाल मेरे घर आना गुरु कृपाल मेरे घर आना जैसे तुम सावन दीवाने मैं तेरा दीवाना मैं तेरा दीवाना कैसे तुम्हें भुलाऊं सतगुरु पता नहीं है ज्ञान नहीं किसी तरह का कोई तकबल मेरे बस की बात नहीं कैसे तुम्हें भुलाऊं सतगुरु पता नहीं है ज्ञान नहीं किसी तरह का कोई तकबल मेरे बस की बात नहीं पल पल के दर्शन को गुरु जी प्यासी आंखें तरस रही हैं प्यासी आंखें तरस रही हैं यही बेनती है अजायब की मुझे नहीं तड़फाना मुझे नहीं तड़फाना तेरा दीवाना। गुरु कृपाल मेरे घर आना, गुरु कृपाल मेरे घर आना। जैसे तुम सावन दीवाने, मैं तेरा दीवाना, मैं तेरा दीवाना।
Whoever has meditated or remembered you with a true heart, even for once, with both your hands full, you have given him your love. Oh, dear one, you enjoyed the contaminated berries of Shivri. Giving up the good, delicious food of Duryodhan, you preferred to eat the simple food of Vidur. Oh, Guru Kripal, come to my home. Just like you are fond of Sawan, so I am fond of you. May God bless us all.